as far as book distribution is concerned. He's from Switzerland, and I remember in 1977, he was the biggest book distributor in the world, and was 76, I think, yeah? Or 77? 76, 77. And so usually the big book distributors get a chance to go to Mayapur Festival and want to talk about the biggest book distributor in the world. And usually Prabhupada personally used to bless the big book distributors. But that year, Rohini Sudha Prabhu didn't go to Mayapur Festival. Instead, he decided to carry on distributing Prabhupada's books. And when Harikesh Maharaj told that to Prabhupada during the Mayapur Festival, Prabhupada was extremely happy, extremely pleased. And he felt that that is the right attitude in Krishna consciousness, that keep on serving the spiritual master irrespective of any return or irrespective of any glorification whatsoever. And of course, although the devotee doesn't want any return, but Prabhupada and Krishna gives them everything, although they do not desire anything, but Prabhupada and Krishna goes out of, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes out of their way and blesses and rewards his devotees. So we had been planning to get Rohini Nandan Prabhu to come here for last few weeks, and finally we got him to come here, and we feel very fortunate that in spite of his very, very busy schedule, he agreed to give us his wonderful association in Radhadesh. So Rohini Sudha Prabhu will be here in Radhadesh for 5 days. 4 or 5 days he'll be here and bless us with his association and his expertise in book distribution. Thank you, Rohini Sudha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Rohini Sudha Prabhu ki transcendent. Keshe Maharaj's zone, that is Switzerland, Germany, Austria, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland. Yes, and also Yugoslavia. And he's heading that Jatra, so heading that Sankirtan Jatra so wonderfully that the devotees under him, some devotees distribute as many as 1,500 books a week. These are all, I mean, really empowered devotees as far as book distribution are concerned. Of course, that's that devotees did during the Sankirtan Marathon. But in regular basis, they're distributing about 1,000 books a week. Some devotees, 2-3 devotees are doing it just on regular basis. I was asking him, and he was telling that one devotee's distribution dropped from 1,000 to 600, and they thought it was a big maya for him. Well, he was actually joking. So today is Srimati Radharani's appearance day. So we are going to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda.
Dilila chapter 4, while describing appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radharani's Radharani's identity has been described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So this way Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing the very elevated position of the gopis, and then he is describing that among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the highest, the greatest. She is like the crest jewel of all the gopis. Text 212 is describing that Gopika janen krishner monero banchito prem seva paripati ishto somihito. The gopis know Krishna's desire and they know how to render perfect loving service for his enjoyment. They perform their service expertly for the satisfaction of their beloved. Man mahatam mat saparjam mat shraddham man manogatam jananti gopika partho nanne jananti tatvatah. O Partha, the gopis know my greatness, my loving service, respect for me, and my mentality. Others cannot really know this. This verse was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna in the Adi Puran. Shei gopi gana modhe uttam radhika rupe gune shaubhagye preme sarvadhika. Among the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the foremost. She surpasses all in beauty, in good qualities, in good fortune, and above all, in love. Trailokye prithivi dhanna jatra brinda vanampuri tatrapi gopika partha jatra radha bhidhamamo. O Partha, in all the three planetary systems, this earth is specially fortunate, for on earth is the town of Vrindavan, and there the gopis are specially glorious because among them is my Srimati Radharani. Radha shaho krida rasho vriddhir karon ar sab gopigan rasopokaron. All the other gopis help increase the joy of Krishna's pastimes with Radharani. The gopis act as the instruments of their mutual enjoyment. Krishnero ballobha radha krishna pranodhan tahabinu sukho hetu nahe gopigan. Radha is the beloved consort of Krishna, and she is the wealth of his life. Without her, the gopis cannot give him pleasure. Kamsariropi saṃsāro vāsanā baddha śrīṅkhalam radhā mādhāyo ridaye tattāyo vraja sundari. Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, left aside the other gopis during the rasa dance and took Srimati Radharani to his heart, for she is the helper of the Lord in realizing the essence of his desire. This verse is from the Gita Govinda 3.1. Jayadev Goswami describes Sri Krishna's leaving the Rasa Leela to search for Srimati Radharani. So then it has been described that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared with the mood of Radharani. Shrei Radhar bhav loiya Chaitanya avatar Jugadharma nam prem koilo parochar. Lord Chaitanya appeared with the sentiment of Radha. He preached the dharma of this age, the chanting of the holy name and pure love of God. So it's a very, very auspicious day that Srimati Radharani appeared on this planet today. And who is Srimati Radharani? Srimati Radharani is the greatest of all of Krishna's devotees. Krishna's devotees give pleasure to Krishna. The only business that a devotee has is to serve Krishna and give him pleasure by loving devotional service. And of all the devotees, those who are trying to give pleasure to Krishna, Srimati Radharani is the greatest. She gives pleasure to Krishna in the highest magnitude. And as a matter of fact, devotional service is a manifestation of Radharani's mercy or Radharani's potency. So if somebody wants to become a devotee, must take shelter of Srimati Radharani. Because without Radharani's blessings, it is not possible to please Krishna. And when Radharani is pleased, Krishna is immediately pleased. Radharani enchants Krishna by her service, by her love, by her beauty. By everything she does, Krishna is completely enchanted by that. And that is because Radharani is the personification of Krishna's pleasure-giving potency. Krishna has innumerable potencies, and of all the potencies, three are principal. They are Shandini, Shambit, and Ladini. Shandini is the existence aspect, Shambit is the knowledge aspect, and Ladini is the pleasure aspect. And Krishna, Krishna's Ladini Shakti has manifested in the person of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the embodiment of Krishna's pleasure potency. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and Radharani is the supreme pleasure. Krishna is the all-attractive personality and Radharani is the source of all attraction. So this is also inconceivable to conceive, inconceivable to understand. This is inconceivable that how Krishna, who is the source of all attraction, can be attracted by Radharani. Krishna, who is the source of all attraction, Krishna means all attractive. Krishna is so attractive that he enchants and the millions of cupids. And one cupid is causing all the attraction for all the living entities in the earth planet. Just one cupid is the cause of love and attraction in the hearts of living entities. Attraction and love are very closely connected. Because love is the force that brings people together. And attraction is the force that forces people to become close to one another. So, Cupid is the source of love. And he's extremely beautiful. And by his beauty, he attracts. And also another thing to consider here, the Cupid doesn't have a body. That's why another name of Cupid is Anango. In Sanskrit, Cupid is called Anango, and Cupid doesn't have a form. It's a nice incident, nice story, that when Parvati, well, I have to even go back, like when the demigods were driven out from the kingdom of heaven by the demons, they were scattered all over, hiding in different places in different disguise, the demigods. So then they approached Brahma and what to do, and they said that the only way to defeat the demons is to have a son from Lord Shiva. And this son of Lord Shiva will become the general of the army of the demigods, and he would be able to guide them and lead them and defeat the demons. So then they wondered, then who would be the wife of Lord Shiva? Then they were told that there is one lady, one girl, who is the daughter of Himalaya, Himalayan mountain. Himalaya is also a person. So he's called the Giriraj Himalaya, the king of the mountains. So Himalaya's daughter is Parvati. And Parvati is meditating for getting Lord Shiva as her husband. So then Parvati approached Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva was in meditation and no one could see him. I mean, she could not break her meditation. He was so absorbed in meditating on the lotus feet of Balaram. Lord Shiva was so absorbed in meditating on the lotus feet of Shankarshan that he did not have any external consciousness. So Parvati, he didn't even open her eyes and look at Parvati. So they got very worried what to do. The demigods were very much concerned. So then they approached Ananga, Kamdev or Cupid, and said that you do something so that Lord Shiva develops the amorous feelings, and he would glance at Parvati and accept Parvati. So Cupid was actually very afraid, said, I don't want to be the cause of Lord Shiva's anger and break his meditation. But the demigods provoked him and assured him, don't worry, we are there to support you, and after all, it's for a good cause. So hiding behind the bush, Cupid chucked his arrows. Cupid has 5 arrows, flower arrows, that invoke the amorous feelings. So Cupid shoot those arrows at Lord Shiva, and then being hit by those arrows, Lord Shiva's meditation broke, and he was very disturbed that who broke his meditation, and his eyes just fell on Cupid. And Cupid was immediately burned to ashes. And since then Cupid lost his form. So he is a formless person. And he causes a lot of disturbance wherever he goes, and especially for the people, those who want to meditate on Krishna and absorb themselves in Krishna consciousness. So then Lord Shiva's anger subsided and he looked at Parvati, and he was pleased with Parvati, so he accepted Parvati as his wife. And then a son was born out of them, and that is Kartikeya, Kartik. He is the general of the demigods, and he defeated the demons. So that's how Cupid became formless, Anango. And Krishna is the enchanter of millions of such cupids. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Krishna's form is so beautiful that he enchants millions of cupids. But the glory of Srimati Radharani is that Krishna, who is Madan Mohan, who enchants Madan or Cupid, and not only one or two, but millions of such cupids, that Madan Mohan is enchanted by Srimati Radharani. So that's why another name of Srimati Radharani is Madan Mohano Mohini. Madan is Cupid, Mohan means enchanter, and Mohini means one who enchants even Madan Mohan. So this is, today is that Radharani's appearance day. Now about Radharani's appearance, there are certain incidents, I mean certain descriptions. One description I came across in Lalita Madhav, written by Rupa Goswami. In Lalita Madhav, Rupa Goswami actually reveals the fact that Radharani was not exactly the daughter of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida. Generally it is known that Vrishabhanu is the father of Radharani, the king Vrishabhanu, and his wife Queen Kirtida is her mother. But Rupa Goswami revealed the fact in Lalita Madhav that actually they are not their real parents. They are not her real parents. Actually, they are real parents, because Chandravali is also Radharani's sister. They are actually two sisters, Chandravali and Radharani. So he is revealing the fact that Radharani is actually the daughter of Vindachal, Vinda Mountain. And the mountain called Vinda became very upset that mountain Himalaya has a daughter who is married to Lord Shiva, who is the best among all men. So he, in his transcendental jealousy, wanted to have a son-in-law who is even greater than Lord Shiva. And he performed great austerities and penances to have a daughter like that, to have a son-in-law like that. And due to that desire of Vindachal, he was blessed with a daughter who was destined to have a husband who would be even greater than Lord Shiva. But soon after the daughter was born, a great demoness called Putana, who was very expert in killing children, she stole that little daughter of Vinda. But at that time, when the Putana was still flying away with this daughter of Vinda, then all the Brahmins, expert Brahmins, started to chant mantras called Dakini Vinashan mantra, the mantra that destroys the witches. And the power of mantra was so strong that Putana's life was in trouble. Putana was in great trouble. So out of fear, she dropped that girl. And then that girl actually fell on a lotus flower. And Kirtida and Vrishabhanu, who didn't have any children, they went out on a lake for an outing one day. And there they found this little girl on a lotus. So they picked her up and brought her up. And that is Srimati Radharani. But the unfortunate thing is that this girl was actually blind from her birth. And although she was extremely beautiful, and no one ever saw such beauty, but she was blind. And then in due course of time, Krishna was born as the son of Nanda Yasoda. So Krishna was, one day Nanda Yasoda came to Vrishabhanu's palace, and Krishna was there with them. And Krishna was crawling around. He was just a little baby. He was crawling around. And so in the meantime, at that time, Radharani was lying on her cradle. And so Krishna, out of curiosity, childish curiosity, he somehow, holding on to the cradle, he stood up. And he peeped in what was there inside the cradle. And immediately Radharani's eyes opened. she was blind because she wouldn't see anything but Krishna. So she did not open her eyes till she saw Krishna. So another beautiful story is that the first dance Krishna had with Radharani was when Krishna was just a little baby. And Nanda Maharaj was tending the cows with Krishna in his lap. And then all of a sudden one cow ran away from the herd. And so Nanda Maharaj felt the need to run and get that cow back to the horde. And then Radharani was there, so Nanda Maharaj said, "Radha, please hold Krishna for a while and let me get the cow back." And as soon as Krishna came in contact with Radharani, although he was just a little child, he took up his Navajovana form, the 14, 15 year old form, and had his first dance with Radharani. There's such so many beautiful anecdotes of Radha Krishna's pastimes. So Radharani is very, very dear to Krishna. And when Radharani came to this earth was blessed. And specially, the devotees, those who are in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're specially blessed by Radharani. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani herself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined together. Actually, Radha and Krishna are one. Radha Krishna Pranayo Bikritir Ladini Shaktir Ashmad Ekat Mano Bopi Bhubi Pura Deho Bhedang Gatoutau Chaitanakhang Prakata Madhuna Taddayang Chaikamaptang Radha Bhavod Duti Shubalitang Naomi Krishna Sarupam. Radha Krishna Pranaya Bikriti Ladini. Radharani is the transformation of Krishna in his Ladini potency. Radha and Krishna is one, and previously they were one. Bhubi Pura Deho Bhedang Gatouto. But then they became Deho Bhedang, separated. They took up two forms. And Chaitanakhang Prakata Madhuna, and now they have appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Radharani's bhava and duti, Radharani's sentiment and Radharani's complexion. Now previously Krishna and Radha was together, but now they have again became together. But now the difference is that Krishna has taken the mood of Radharani, or the sentiment of Radharani, and the complexion of Radharani. Krishna's complexion is like the monsoon cloud. But now Krishna has appeared with the complexion of Srimati Radharani, that is molten golden complexion, and with Radharani's sentiment. Radha Bhavo Duti Shubolitang Naomi Krishna Sarupam. So it's a very wonderful understanding that was revealed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Radha and Krishna. And through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha and Krishna's identity has been revealed. Previously, no one actually knew about Radharani. Not no one, but generally people did not know about Radharani. They knew about Krishna, but they used to think that Krishna is the incarnation of Vishnu. He is an avatar. And often some moralists did not want to discuss or hear about Krishna's activities with Radharani. Because Krishna's pastimes with Radharani is apparently immoral. Because Radharani was actually married to somebody else. Radharani was married to Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu was, by relation, Abhimanyu was Krishna's uncle. Yashoda Mai's brother. So, maternal uncle. And in that relationship, Radharani is Krishna's aunt. So here, Krishna is having an affair with his aunt, who is older in age also. And so the moralist could not understand that, why that is. But in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis of Vrindavan has explained that how this material nature is a perverted reflection of the spiritual sky. And whatever is there in the material nature is also there in the spiritual nature. Now, what is the highest in the spiritual nature is the most, is the lowest in the material nature. When you look at a reflection, the top appears to be the bottom and bottom appears to be the top. It's upside down. So the highest form of devotion is the devotion when a devotee is willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of Krishna. When a woman sacrifices her family, her children, her husband, her reputation. Actually, sometimes these cowherd damsels of Vrindavan have been considered as prostitutes. Divine prostitutes, Sarvesha. But the thing is that when one becomes so much attached to Krishna that everything else appears to be irrelevant. Actually, for a woman, her reputation is most precious. But they even sacrifice their reputation for the sake of Krishna. So that is the highest form of devotion. Now in the spiritual sky, it is highest. But if somebody in the material nature imitates Krishna and tries to act like Krishna, Krishna's affairs with the gopis in Vrindavan, that would be the most degraded, most abominable act. So that's why in the material platform, if some man has an affair with somebody else, especially somebody else's wife, then it's considered to be very, very bad. It's actually the worst activity. But in the spiritual platform, that's the highest activity. So, this Radharani was not known to the people, even the devotees did not know Radharani. They would not discuss about Radharani because the spiritualists are generally moralists, because one has to be very moral in order to be situated on the spiritual platform. It's natural. So they could not understand why Krishna acted immorally, which has been revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And of course, another wonderful thing is, for the sake of those moralists, Jiva Goswami, in his Gopal Champu, described how actually Radharani got married to Krishna. Actually, that was a very nice description, how the marriage was arranged between Radha and Krishna. Actually, Radharani got married to Krishna. And another explanation is there, that when Radharani was placing the garland on Abhimanyu, the ultimate act of marriage is exchanging of garlands. So that is what causes the marriage complete. So when Radharani was placing the garland on Abhimanyu, actually Krishna appeared there in the form of Abhimanyu and accepted the garland. So even morally, Radharani was married to Krishna. And after all, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna, as it is, Krishna is everybody's husband. Krishna is the supreme person, Parama Purusha. So Krishna is everybody's husband. And we have seen in Bhagavatam how Krishna appeared as Abhimanyu. And in Jatila and Kutila are Radharani's mother-in-law and sister-in-law. So one day, Abhimanyu went out to some place on business. And in the meantime, Krishna appeared in the form of Abhimanyu, and he was in the house associating with Radharani. And in the meantime, by some divine arrangement, Abhimanyu came back. And Jyotila got completely confused. What happened? Abhimanyu is at home. And where is this man coming from? So then Krishna, as Abhimanyu, came out of the house and told Jyotila, "See, mother, this is Krishna." Krishna came as he pointed to real Abhimanyu and says that he came in, "See, what a treacherous guy this is. He took up my form and he has come here." And so Jyotila picked up a broomstick and chased her son. And Abhimanyu couldn't figure out what was happening. Now, this story has been mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, my Prabhupada. So if Krishna can take up the form of Abhimanyu later on, then of course at the time of wedding also Krishna could take up the form of Abhimanyu. Krishna has all mystic potencies. So that Radharani is the source of Krishna's joy. And without Radha, as it has been mentioned here, that without Radharani, all the gopis become meaningless to Krishna. Krishna was dancing with 16,000 gopis. And this has been explained by Ramananda Roy. He was explaining the very, very elevated position of Radharani. And he was saying that Krishna was dancing with the gopis. The gopis are the most elevated devotees. And the rasa dance is the most wonderful exchange of devotion between devotees and Krishna. So at that time, Krishna was dancing with 16,000 gopis, and there was one Krishna between two gopis. Krishna was dancing between two gopis, and each one of them thought that Krishna was dancing with her. But in the middle, Krishna alone was dancing with one particular gopi. So obviously her position is very, very special. And then, for some reason, this gopi developed some kind of obhiman. Obhiman means loving anger. The anger due to love. So she became angry with Krishna. And she left the rasa dance. And when she left rasa dance, then Krishna left everybody. Krishna left all the 16,000 gopis and just went looking for this girl. So she must be very, very special. And this has been described also here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a quote from Jayadev Goswami in Gita Govinda. Kaṁśāri rapi saṁśāra vāśana baddha śrīṅkhalaṁ Radha madhaya ridaye tattaya braja sundari. Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, left aside the other gopis during the rasa dance and took Srimati Radharani to his heart, for she is the helper of the Lord in realizing the essence of his desire. So this Radharani, there is a very nice Ashtakam, the eight shlokas, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, describing Radharani's glories. This is called Radhikashtakam. It goes like Kumkum apto kanchanabjo garbo hari gaurabha pita nanchi tabjo gandho kirti nindi shaurabha ballo besho shunu sarbo banchitartho sadhika madhyamatma pado padmo dasyo dastu radhika. Kumkum apto kanchanabjo garbohari gaurabha. Her molten golden complexion makes the color, the mixture, the blending of kumkum and gold. Kumkum is a reddish perfume actually. It's red, and ladies in India use it to decorate themselves, and it's very fragrant. So that red, when blended with gold, kanchanabjo, when gold is blended with this kumkum, the reddish golden color is very, very beautiful. But that color is, the glory or beauty of that color is defeated by the color of Srimati Radharani. Garbo hari gaurabha. Garbo means pride, and hari means defeating. So Radharani's complexion defeats the most wonderful complexion that you can conceive of, and the blending of gold and red. Pito nanchi tabjo gandho kirti nindi shaurabha. And her fragrance subdues or minimizes the fragrance of a fully bloomed lotus. Ballo besho shunu sarbo banchi tartho sadhika. She is very expert in fulfilling all the desires of Krishna. And madhyamatma pado padma dasyo dastu radhika. Oh, Srimati Radharani, please give the shelter of your lotus feet. Then the next shloka is Kaurabendo kanti nindi chitra patto shatika Krishna matto bhringo keli fullo pushpo batika Krishna nitto sangamartho padma bandhu radhika madhyamatma pado padma dasyo dastu radhika. Kaurabendo kanti nindi chitra patto shatika. The silken sari that she wears that defeats the color of coral. The red of coral is very brilliant. Kaurabendo. The brilliance of coral is defeated by the color of a silken sari. Now, this is one thing, of course, we have to consider or remember. Like, generally, Radharani wears blue sari. But here, it has been described that she is wearing a red sari, and the color of the brilliance of that red actually defeats the color of the brilliance of the coral. So we have to understand that sometimes Radharani wears red also. red sari, chitrapatta shatika, Krishna matto bhringo keli, fulla pushpa batika. Krishna has been compared here with a wild bumblebee. Krishna matto bhringo keli. And Radharani is the flower garden, which is the playground of this wild bumblebee called Krishna. A bumblebee goes from flower to flower in the garden, collecting honey. So this wild bumblebee called Krishna, Krishna's playground, the flower garden, is Radharani herself. And Krishna nitya sangamartho padma bandhu Radhika. In order to have the association of Krishna constantly, Radharani worships padma bandhu. Padma bandhu, padma means lotus and bandhu means a friend. So Sanskrit is very beautiful actually. The words are structured in a very, very poetic way sometimes. Like lotus is friend. Who is the friend of lotus? Sun. When the sun comes up, the lotus blooms. So that's why another name of sun is, or sun here has been described as Padma Bandhu. So Radharani worships sun in order to have the association of Krishna all the time. And let that Srimati Radharani give me the service to her lotus feet. Madhyamatma Pada Padma Dasya Dastu Radhika. Radharani is very expert in serving. In all respects. So another aspect of Radharani's qualities is she is the expert cook. She cooks so delicious. And she, there also is a story, like one day Durvasa came to Vrishabhanu's house. Durvasa is a very angry sage, very hot-tempered sage. But when he is pleased, he gives all kinds of benedictions. Like Durvasa gave benedictions to Kunti, that she would be able to call any of the demigods whenever she wanted. And then Durvasa cursed Shakuntala that her husband will forget her. Shakuntala was married to a king called Dushyanta, and she was absorbed in thinking about her husband. And Durvasa came, and Durvasa called out, "Is there anybody? I have come here. Please receive me." And Shakuntala was so absorbed in thinking about Dushyanta that she did not hear Durvasa. And so Durvasa got very angry and cursed her, that the person you are thinking of, deep meditation, he will forget you. He will not recognize you. And so that's another story altogether. So this Durvasa was pleased by Radharani, and Durvasa gave her a benediction that whatever she would cook would become even more delicious than nectar. And so that's why Mother Jasoda used to get Radharani to cook for Krishna. That she was the best cook. Others also would cook, and sometimes Krishna would make joke of Radharani. That has been described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When Gop Kumar went back to Vrindavan, then Krishna took him to the house and invited him to, made him sit next to him and have prasad with him. So all the cowherd boys were sitting together Nanda Maharaj also was sitting, and Gop Kumar had the great opportunity to sit just next to Krishna. And then Krishna was tasting the food and he was telling how nice everything has been cooked. And then Krishna noticed that Radharani was seeing him from behind the curtain, so watching him taking prasad. So then he jokingly he picked up some prasad that has been cooked by Radharani and he put it in his mouth and he made faces and says, "Oh, who cooked this? It's so bad." And Krishna, from the corner of his eyes, he was looking at Radharani. And Radharani's eyes lit up in loving anger, seeing Krishna's expression. And then Krishna passed that food plate, that preparation, to Gop Kumar. Because Gop Kumar belonged to Radharani's brother's clan. So he said that maybe you will like it because it's been cooked by your group leader's sister. So this is how Krishna sometimes jokes with Radharani. And so for us, Radharani is very, 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 very special. And we always pray that we receive the service to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Once I heard Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was walking in Radhakund with his disciples. And at that time, some pilgrims from North India, I think from Punjab or Rajasthan, they also were making a parikrama, circumambulating Radhakund. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented that they are circumambulating Radhakund because of Krishna. They think that Radharani is dear to Krishna, and in order for Krishna's pleasure or for their love for Krishna or devotion to Krishna, they are circumambulating Radhakund. But we love Krishna because Radharani loves Krishna. So our attachment is more to Radharani. We are more attached to Radha. And because Radharani loves Krishna, that's why we love Krishna. Like our approach is not Krishna to Radha, but from Radha to Krishna. And why? Because Radharani is the central theme of devotional service. Radharani is the source of devotion. So we want to become devotees of Krishna. We want to serve Krishna for his pleasure. And that's why serving Krishna through Radharani is the highest. And we are, of all the followers of Radharani, or of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are actually very, very specially blessed. Why? Because we are the Rupanuga Vaishnavas. We are not only Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but we are Rupanuga Vaishnavas. And Rupanuga Vaishnava means we are the follower of Rupa Goswami. And we are actually, in Vrindavan, we are the followers of Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Manjari's position is very, very special, because when Radha and Krishna are together in their intimate dealings, then all the elderly gopis leave them. Only Rupa Goswami stays with Radha Krishna to serve them. So that is another very, very wonderful fortune that we have, Rupanuga Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada emphasized very much on that, Rupa, our position as Rupanugas. And also we can see of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, Rupa Goswami is the most elevated. Because Rupa Goswami is Rasacharya. Rupa Goswami is the acharya of the transcendental mellow. Mahaprabhu revealed different aspects of Krishna consciousness through different devotees, through different associates. But through Rupa Goswami, he revealed the transcendental mellow. So, we are specially blessed by being sheltered by Rupa Goswami's lotus feet. So I think I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So does anybody have any question? Yeah.
You said that
yes, it does, because as you said, like I was quoting Prabhupada, that in order to go back to Godhead, we have to ultimately take shelter of somebody in Vrindavan. So since we are Rupanuga Vaishnavas, our shelter is Rupa Goswami or his group, somebody in his group. And that will reveal naturally in due course of time. You see, we already have a relationship with Krishna in specific mellows, in specific groups. So we belong to some group already. Now by being, and now that we have been blessed by Prabhupada, so we are, it is understood that we belong to that group that Prabhupada belongs to, right? And that is the group of Rupa Goswami. Right, Rupanuga or Rupa Goswami's clan. So when you go back, we'll find ourselves somewhere engaged in that group.
Is that limiting the mercy that the people can receive from Krishna consciousness?
No, no, no. Actually, whoever comes to, whoever joins ISKCON will also become a Rupa Goswami. Right? So that it is, I mean, the spiritual sky is unlimited, right? Rupa Goswami's clan can take up the whole universe, right? That is the inconceivable ability. It is, I mean, spiritual sky is not limited. It is not that since it's the highest mercy, so it should be limited only to a few. That is a material concept. But in spiritual concept, like, go to think of it, who blessed the world the most? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Krishna himself never really blessed the world as Mahaprabhu did. So, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave Krishna consciousness to everybody. But what he gave is the highest. Right? Krishna's, you know, revelation of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. And an entry to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And so whoever joins ISKCON, whoever remains in ISKCON, and continues serving ISKCON, will go back to Godhead and will belong to Rupa Goswami's group. Or will become Rupa Nuga Vaishnava. Yeah. Not always, because all the groups do not belong to Radharani, right? The general, you see, only through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, the Gaudiya Vaishnava's line, has a predominating mood of Radharani's mood is prevailing in this clan. First of then, you know, like besides that, there are so many other Vaishnava groups. Madhva, Nimbarkis, Ramanujis and Vishnu Swamis, they do not actually receive the blessings of Radharani, right? But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas do. But even in Gaudiya Vaishnav, there are some, those who are in Balaram's mood. Nityananda Prabhu's clan actually is in the Sakha mood. But this line, Rupa Goswami's line, is in the Madhurya mood. So that mood is specifically under the protection and shelter of Radharani. That is the Radharani's group. But there are other groups also that will also be Radharani's group.
Should we take it as a special point that Prabhupada's father made
a
deliberate effort to make sure,
right,
that his son is blessed
by Radharani? Yes, yes, yes. I mean, we are like here Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is singing, Madhyamatma Pado Padma Dashodastu Radhika. Please give me the shelter of your lotus feet, Srimati Radharani. Allow me to become a servant. Become your servant. Shama Chabalam Prapadde. Shabalam. Sham is Krishna. Shamat means from Krishna. Shabalam. Balam is energy or potency. So from Krishna, Krishna's potency become manifest. That is Radharani. And I surrender unto that potency. Balat. Balam. And Cha Balat, from his own potency, Shamang Prapuddhi. And through the potency of Sham, I approach Sham, Krishna. So the best way to approach Krishna is through Radharani. Yes. Yes. They are generally Vrindavan, people of Vrindavan are very dear to, very fond of Radharani. They have, the people, inhabitants of Vrindavan are under direct care of Srimati Radharani because Vrindavan is Radharani's abode. So they are very fond of Radharani. So that's why they always sing the glories of Radharani. Like generally the Brajbasis, you hear them say Radhe Radhe. So they are, and their position is very, very elevated. So elevated that when Jagadananda Pandit went to Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu warned him that be careful about your dealings with the Brajavasis, maintain a distance. And Prabhupada also told us to be careful about our dealings with the Brajavasis. Because they are special. Brajavasis are very, very special. And another thing is, yeah, the Radhe Sham. You see, we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Maha Mantra. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave something else, then we would have chanted that. But because Mahaprabhu gave Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although it is Radhe Sham, but we do not chant Radhe Sham as such. But there is no Radhishyam mantra as such. They may say Jai Radhe or Jai Radhishyam, Jai Radha Krishna. But there is no mantra as such. Is that the one, or you are talking about Bhajanitai Go Radhishyam? Who said that? Who did that? That's not bona fide. At least according to our understanding. Did you ever find anything, any mention of Prabhu kahe kohilam ei maha mantra? Mahaprabhu gave the mantra like Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. No. Specifically it said Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. And then says Prabhu kahe kohilam ei maha mantra. Mahaprabhu said, now I gave you this maha mantra, and chant this maha mantra all the time. And from chanting this maha mantra, you will accomplish everything. Iha hoite sarvasiddhi hoibe tomar. Yes, Purushottam Prabhu? Okay, yes. Expert in metallurgy. Well, it is also an art of making alloys out of different metals. And this is not a new art. We can see that it's coming from old time, at least 5,000 years ago. And Radharani is the expert metallurgist. She knows the art of making alloys and blending them, making different utensils for cooking. When people talk about women's lib, we can say that our Srimati Radharani is the best metallurgist. Yeah, devotees don't wear red and blue. Do not come in front of. You see, I mean, Radharani can do certain things, and because Radharani does that, that's why we don't do that as our respect to her. Right? Only Radharani can come in front of Krishna wearing red and blue. Nobody else. Right? If somebody else comes, then it's a transgression. Krishna likes whatever Radharani does. So when she wears red, Krishna likes red. When she wears blue, he likes blue. Krishna is completely enchanted by Radharani. Completely enchanted. And that's why Krishna has become Jagannath in separation. Krishna in Dwarka was so much in separation from Vrindavan. Or Vrindavan means Radharani. The center of Vrindavan is Radharani. That he became deformed in intense separation. And that form is Lord Jagannath. And that's why the chariot festival. Like in Kurukshetra, the gopis met Krishna. And Radharani didn't like it. What is this? Who is Krishna? I never knew Krishna like this. Wearing royal robes and crowns and all kinds of weapons, surrounded by all kinds of aristocratic people, noble people, soldiers, so many elephants and chariots and horses. And Radharani's followers could understand that Radharani didn't like to meet Krishna in Kurukshetra. In that atmosphere. So they just grabbed Krishna's chariot and began to pull it to Vrindavan. Far from the madding crowd. How much?
How much
older? Oh, I see. A few years. I don't exactly remember. I can check it up and let you know. I'll write it down in my notebook. I'll find out. Radharani's disappearance. They actually, all the gopis, after Krishna left, apparently, they committed suicide. They drowned themselves. But we have to understand that it is just a pastime. You know, like they are not neither born nor they die. Right? But after Krishna left, they didn't have any reason to remain on this planet. So the gopis of Vrindavan, they just drowned themselves. Yeah. When Mahaprabhu gave the Mahamantra, so we chant in Gaur Nitai's care, and but ultimately, of course, it is we chant under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Any other question? Yeah.
Prabhupada's prayers to Lord Sri Krishna, he explains that you will become successful in spiritual life and you get to receive right away. So, is there something mystical or esoteric in
this is, that's a very nice point, actually. What I said, that we are more of a follower of Radharani than Krishna. Knowing that actually Radharani is the boss of Krishna. So Prabhupada actually in that I don't know whether you're talking about which poem? Lotus Prayers to the... Oh, I see. No, I was actually thinking of another poet that Prabhupada wrote, Markina Bhagavad Dharma, a Bengali poem. He wrote that on his way to America. That's the one. That's the one. So he is saying that Krishna tabu punna have bhai epunna koribe jabe Radharani khushi have dhrubavati bolito matai. He's saying that Krishna, you will receive heaps of piety if you make me successful in preaching in America, preaching in the West. Because if you do that, then Radharani will be very pleased. And very emphatically, I'm telling you that. I'm telling you, it's very true. You know, you help me spread Krishna consciousness in the West, then Radharani will be very, very pleased. And you will receive a lot of piety. Krishna tabo punna hobe bhai. Yes, Ramananda. Well, we have to understand that Krishna's pastimes are all transcendental. You know, like Krishna's pastimes are actually very bewildering. You know, very bewildering because, you know, like not, it is not actually meant for anybody and everybody. It's meant for only some very, very special few. Right? Special ones, I would say. I would say few. Because, see, when Krishna performs his pastimes like that, it attracts the devotees and confuses non-devotees, right? And when you know, Krishna, when somebody is not qualified, he won't be able to understand Krishna's pastimes. And that's why, you see, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada, we are receiving it. You know, had Prabhupada did not explain it to us, and had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not have come and revealed the identity of Radharani and Krishna in Vrindavan, then the world wouldn't have known this greatest treasure, the greatest secret of Krishna consciousness. And that's what Vasudev Ghosh sang. Vasudev Ghosh sang, Jodi Gaur na hoto, kamone hoito, kamone dhoritam dehe, premo rasho shima, radharo mohima, jagote janato kehe. It's a beautiful song. The first lines are this. Jodi Gaur na hoto, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come, if Gaur did not come, kamone hoito kamone dhoritam dehe, then how would I have maintained my body? What would have been the inspiration to even remain alive? Then who would have revealed the identity and the glory of Srimati Radharani? Who is the ultimate word in love, loving relationship with Krishna? Premo Rasho Shima, in the loving Radharo Mohima. The Shima means the end, the boundary. The end of Premo Rosh, the loving devotional mellow. The glory of Srimati Radharani. Who would have revealed it to the world? We would never have known who Radharani is unless if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Srila Prabhupada, Srimati Radharani ki jai. Srimati Radharani's appearance day celebration ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.